Welcome to the Guthrie America Podcast. We sit down with the amazing people who live in our community and who are from here because we believe every story should be told. I'm your host, Hedy Coleman. Today we are sitting down with Dominique Williams, the one and only. Before we jump into this conversation with Dominique, will you please go ahead and subscribe to the podcast, YouTube, follow us on Instagram at Guthrie America, all the things. We would deeply appreciate it. Hey, I just want to say a big shout out to Kevin Kraft and his team over at State Farm for supporting us as we are on a mission to have every story told of the fabulous people doing life in our community and who are from here. Thank you so much. Shout out to North Church, who's always, always, always about building community, kingdom-minded folks over there, talking about loving your neighbor, all the good stuff. So I am so thankful for both Kevin and North Church Guthrie for their heart for community. Hey, Dominique. Thank you for coming to my home. Thank you for sitting with me for an hour and a half as I try to work out the kinks. Thank you for rescheduling with me, twice? I think we rescheduled all the things, but we are making this happen right now today. Yep. Dominique, tell me, how are you doing today?
I'm doing really good. I'm refreshed. I'm awake today. I feel like I got enough sleep, actually, so though... being pregnant and you get tired, but I'm good.
See, we're going right there. You are pregnant.
Pregnant.
Now, the reason we say it like that is because this pregnant thing for you is like...
It's I feel like is it a football team at this a football team at
you
this point?
You definitely have a basketball team with a bench, okay? Yes. You're not running your full five. The full game, you're pulling some people off the bench.
Mm-hmm. And trading them out. So this is the eighth pregnancy for me.
The eighth pregnancy. Yeah. Now, which one was the hardest?
I'll probably say Avery might have been the hardest only because of what he had to go through.
Okay.
From him having to get surgery because he ended up being born with Hirschsprung's. But other than that, I think that's why I kept having him. It was actually easy.
Honestly. And if it was, you said maybe if it was a little bit harder, you might stop.
Yeah, I said that a couple times. I'm like, it's been a little bit too easy. I mean, besides being sick here and there, but I think it's been pretty
easy. Now, what's the age range?
Man, so we got 15, 14, 13, another 13. We have an 11, 7, and 3.
Okay.
So we got the whole shabam.
Now, when you start having that many children, is it hard to keep up with birthdays? Do you call them by their wrong names often, regularly?
Yeah. The birthdays start running in together. You start saying, okay, well, wait, what day exactly was your day? I'm not trying to forget it, but it's just, it does. The names, they all become each other's names at this point. I'm like, you know who I'm calling. Just come so you can see what I want.
All of you just come. Well, who's ever name I'm calling, just all of you come and just see what I need.
Yes. I'll be like in the midst of like having a conversation with them, and then I'll say, yeah, and I'll say the other name, and I'm like, why am I calling you? So it was like, that's not your name.
Yeah. So what has been your favorite thing about having children?
Loving them. And just being a mom, I've always wanted to be a mom. I always said that even when I was little, I love kids. And obviously, I mean, I love kids. So, and I love being around kids. So I think that's one.
Now, growing up, did you have siblings?
I did have older brothers, but I was by myself.
Oh, really?
And that might be why I was about to say,
I wonder if that's some of it because... You know, you experienced that being the solo child to a certain degree. Mm-hmm. You're like, I don't want this for no other kid.
Yeah, that's how I was like, it was great to be the only kid in the house. But I was like, it's lonely.
Uh-huh.
I was like, I don't want to have a kid and my kid be lonely. So I'm like, well.
You're making sure that's not happening.
Yeah. It's the more the merrier. So they ain't never lonely.
Now, I think the cool thing about this is, of course, I know you personally and I know your family. It's like sometimes it can be a sense of like one of you are all in on having all these children. The other one, there may be a little angst, even though they're doing it, mm-hmm. but it may be a little angst, like, I'm only having all these children because they want these children. You and your husband, Preston, who's been on the podcast, we've sat down with him, both seem to be all in. Not, so much so that y'all also fostered.
Yes, it is. It's actually, meeting him and talking about how many kids we wanted, we were both shocked because I was like, there's no way. But automatically, he said, well, how many kids you want? I was like, well, how many kids you want? Automatically, I knew if I would have said it, he'd probably been like, oh, heck no, I'm not having that many kids. But I said, oh, I want 10. He said, what? And he's like, I want 10 kids. So I.
Oh, wait a second. You both want 10 kids?
10 kids. Wanted.
Now, you may have changed your mind by now, but you both wanted 10 kids.
We wanted 10. At this point, we were
Preston's
like...
over there shaking his head. Yes, we wanted. So this is an end date on this thing.
Yeah, I think we got to the point where the busier we got and the older we were getting, we're like, I think we're good where we're at right now. But I think the Lord's holding us to that at this point. You said 10, so at this point, we're like, whatever, how many at this point he wants us to have. So,
yes. Well, we'll come back to the children. Let's kind of introduce you. And, man, tell everyone who's listening who you are and tell us a little bit about yourself.
Okay, well, I'm Dominique Williams. Of course, I'm a mother of soon to be 8 kids. I'm a wife. I stay at home now. I used to work and... I work in ministry. I say I'm an entrepreneur. It's a lot of things, talents that I have that I can do. And I kind of like try to do all of them. I try to like slow down and like pick and choose which ones. But, you know, I care for people a lot. And that's really me in a nutshell.
Yeah. If I was sitting with your best friend, how do you think your best friend would describe you personality wise?
I can be quiet. Uh-huh. And I think when you get to know me, I can be loud and goofy and can play and all that stuff. But yeah, I would say they'd be like, yeah, Dominic's more like laid back, reserved. And then I can, you know, play and go goof around too.
So do you think you more lean towards being the introvert?
Yes, I'm definitely introvert. Definitely with the passion. I think I celebrate that more than anything.
You say, I'm all in on this introvert thing. Yes. Now, what I'm learning, at least what I've heard from people, is like when they talk about being an introvert, it's not like I don't want to be around people or I don't like people. It's just the way that I energize. Like, I need to be by myself. It mm-hmm. helps me recoup so I can go out and interact with people. Would that be true?
Yes. I feel like if I get too much, like I can enjoy just sit and listen, but then a lot of the talking and trying to engage with people, I'm just sitting there like, okay, I'm trying, like, I'm not trying to be rude, but my husband's a talker, so it's like he talks enough, so I should be fine just sitting there. So,
yes.
But yeah, that's how it is. I'd rather just, I'll sit at home, I'll talk, but yeah, I need to like recharge and recuperate myself for a little bit before I can really like interact with a lot of people.
Gotcha. Yeah. And I think that's true. That's true. My wife is an introvert, Bernadette. And I think she would say the same thing. But there is a side of her is like, I don't need to go anywhere. Like, she's that kind of person. Are you that way? Or is it like, no, I want to get out. I want to interact. Are you a person like, no, I don't need to go anywhere?
I would say I can get like that sometimes. I'm like, I'm not doing nothing and I will not move. I will not move. I'm like, I'm not doing it today. And there'd be days where I'm like, I've been sitting here. Where are we going? So it goes back and forth. So
yeah.
It really just depends, I guess, on the day or the mood I'm in at the time or how long I've had to sit. So I would love, just sit. I'm cool in my house and just,
Now, we're sitting in Guthrie, America right now. You're not from here.
Mm-mm.
You've been living here for the last, going on 6 years now. But even though before moving back this time, you had lived here for a couple of years or so.
Yep.
Right? So you've been in Guthrie. Originally from California, Bakersfield. What size of a city is Bakersfield?
I feel like, to me, I feel like it's big. Preston's like, it's nothing but same thing as Guthrie. And I'm like, there's no way. There's no way. I'm like, we got like 20 plus schools. I'm like, there's no way it's close to Guthrie. But he downs it all the time.
If you got 20 something schools, it's definitely not.
Yeah.
Google. I just said
a bigger Guthrie.
Google the population of Bangor. I'm just curious now. Because if he says it's like Guthrie.
Yeah, he's saying like just the atmosphere. Yeah, he says nothing to do. I'm like, there's stuff to do. And he's like, no, there's not. I'm like, there's a lot. I mean, you have the mall. He's like, that's nothing. And we used to do rollerblading. I used to go up to the skating rink. I'm like, there's stuff to do and things, you know, and hang out. We can drive down and go to the beach. So I just feel like we are
7,000 people. Oh, yeah, no, that's definitely not Guthrie.
I mean, yeah. Yeah. So it's like we just, it's bigger now, definitely from before, but our population has grown. People started migrating from like LA and things like that, and they're trying to move to Bakersfield because at the time it was cheaper to live there. And all the people then came in and just skyrocketed. So
it's crazy. California's crazy though, anyway, like the prices, and it's just a different kind of place to live. Like, give me some of the differences, like whenever you just decided to move to Oklahoma, was it a culture shock to you, or because Bakersfield wasn't a big city, it wasn't that big of a culture shock to you?
I feel like in the sense of just, I say the atmosphere of it, I can say it just seems like it's more fast paced, or people, it's almost like people mind their own business and where I'm at, and they like not getting here. You can hear people like say hi to you, and I'm like, I don't even know who you are, and they're like speaking and say hi to me, and I'm like, hi. I'm like, I wasn't used to that at all.
Uh-huh.
So you do get the highs here and there, and then it's busy. Like, it's all about, because you're close to LA, so you got Hollywood, you got all the famous stuff, you got a doo-doo, people are trying to get out there and make it in life, and so it's definitely totally, it's a big shock here. And then it's cold. I get cold easy, because I guess how my body's so used to California weather, but the weather and everything, I'm like, we don't get a lot of rain. When we do, it's here and there, and it's hot. Crazy
on California,
hot.
You don't get a lot of rain.
Yeah, we'll get here and there. Compared to here, it's totally different. I'm like, he's like, he always talks best about it. It's like, y'all don't get, this is not weather. I'm like, it is weather. I'm used to growing up in it, so I'm like, this is weather for us. But we've got snow maybe once every like 20 plus, it seems like, years. But we don't get all the seasons. Yeah. Like we do here, so.
Which is crazy to think about, because, you know, growing up in Oklahoma, like I have, like, you're like, y'all didn't have a winter? Like, or y'all don't have tornadoes? Like, what was your first experience with a tornado? Do you remember?
I was freaked out about it, but to be honest, he thinks I'm crazy, but I actually like tornadoes. I don't know why. Yeah. It's weird. I don't like them, Terry.
Wait,
I don't know.
Explain that.
I don't know if it's just being here or the fascination of like how tornadoes work, but I rather them not tear things up or ruin like people's homes.
Of course, yeah.
But it's just like.
But you have a thing for tornadoes.
Yeah, I'll go outside when the weather is like, and I'll be one of those people that stand outside and watch if I could.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, you know, my grandfather's in the room next to us here because he's staying with us, whatever. Growing up, he would never go to the basement. Like, we would all go to the basement whenever, like, if there was a hint of a tornado in the area, in the close proximity, we were going, and he would stay in the house reading his newspaper, or he'll go out and want to try to see it. And I'm like, that's so crazy to me. But, yeah, so you like tornadoes.
I
Have you chased any?
No, I actually asked him, I said, if he would do it. He said, no, he wouldn't do it with me. So, I'm alone on that. He's not going to do it.
But you have asked and were inquired about chasing some tornadoes.
Yeah, I have. I said, would you ever just go out there with me and, like, actually watch? He's like, no, I would never do that. Why yeah. would you want to do that? So
that is crazy.
It is. I don't know. It's just the weather. I guess I like the way the weather is and how it looks and the clouds and yeah.
Yeah. No, it is. It is fascinating. I will not lie. Tornadoes, there's something about them. And yeah, that weather changing is crazy how that all comes about. And so, but in California, you have earthquakes, right?
Yeah.
And fires.
Yeah, a lot of those. Yeah. It's when it gets too hot or it's dry, because again, we don't get a lot of rain like that. So we will get a lot of forest fires up in like the mountains and the hills up towards that way. But yes, we will get a lot of fires. Earthquakes, I feel like we don't have a lot. I feel like even here, like with the tornadoes, it seems like every blue moon we might, they say it's going to be one, but it really doesn't happen. Yeah. That's kind of how like Bakersfield, it's every blue moon that we would get a earthquake. So. Okay.
All right. We get back. We may come back to Bakersfield in California. but I got to ask, because we have not done this. I mean, you got 8 kids by him. How did you meet Preston? Tell me about what was that like? Was this Instagram?
No.
Was AOL?
No. See, and that's the thing. We didn't have no. It was like, see, when I tell this story.
Was it Facebook? Oh, my
no,
face.
Like, no. We and I say how well, we
you're
met.
From California. He's from Oklahoma.
Yeah, so he came down.
TikTok.
He it wasn't nah, out.
It wasn't
he
even
actually
out.
Came down to visit for a family reunion. And
y'all
his aunt. No. See, that's what I'm saying.
This story gets better and better. It wasn't TikTok. Was like y'all cousins.
No.
Y'all met. How? Tell me.
No, that's what I'm saying.
I'm
like, when we actually share the story, people are like, no, seriously, y'all sure y'all not related? No, we're not related. Okay, we made sure we're not related. But he actually came down for a family reunion, and his aunt is like my aunt, but it's my mom's basically best friend from childhood. They grew up together, so. She invited, she said, yeah, I want y'all come out to this reunion that we're having. And my mom usually goes anywhere. Like, if she's going, if she invites her, we go. So it's just me and my mom, and he just so happened he's there. And in the midst of all this, you have almost every guy, when they realize that I'm not related, trying to talk to me. So
I know that's right.
Yeah.
I mean, okay. A slide way to say I'm fine. I'm cute. Okay. I like that. I like that.
So he just so happened he's there. He tries to act like he didn't like me type stuff, but it was fine. But it was just, it was funny because I was getting overwhelmed with dudes trying to talk to me. I was like, dude, can you come like help me? I was like in the hallway sitting with his cousins talk to me and all this stuff. And he walks by and he tries to act like he's all basically he's too cool for school at this point because he's like, I'm not doing it.
Why can't I? But, I can see this. I can see this about Preston.
I'm like, I reach out to like get him like save me because I'm like, dude, I'm trying to go. I'm not trying to be rude. I was trying to be polite.
Yeah.
And he just was kept going. He's like, no type thing. Like, there's already other dudes sitting there.
He was cute too.
I thought he was cute.
Okay.
I thought he was cute. I did. I looked at him. I was like,
okay, let me get him to
so,
save me.
So, yeah. So, I was like, if he would just save me so we could just. But, yeah, that's basically how we met. We was at a family reunion, and my mom is basically so close with his family. And
yeah.
We hit it off ever since then and been together ever since. So.
Wow. What year was that?
That was. I just had Anastasia. That was 2009.
Okay.
And so we've been inseparable since 2009.
Wow.
Yeah.
So it was that day that y'all.
It was just ever since. I didn't realize that we was even going to be together that long. I mean, but I came out here to visit. I had
now,
my.
Now, did you come out here to visit after you recognized that you were into him?
Yeah. Like after we talked and everything for a couple of months. And I was like, oh, I'm going to come out and visit. And I came out to visit and I actually didn't leave.
Oh,
I didn't leave.
What did your parents say?
My mom had a fit. She was upset. My dad was upset. I'm the baby. I took the grandbaby.
Oh my!
And
was this the first? This wasn't the first grandbaby.
It wasn't
though.
The first grandbaby, okay, but okay. It was like I yeah. had my mom.
But you're the youngest.
I'm the youngest and the grandbaby. She's like, "What are you doing? I didn't know you were gonna like leave and like not come home." And I was like, "I wasn't planning on not coming home. I just was like, you know what? I'm tired of Bakersfield. I'm done.
I'm just, tired of 400,000 people. Yeah, I want to be with us 10.
Yeah, I'm just like, you know what? I really care about him. I want to be with him. Oh, like, you know what? I'm just going to stay. So
you was in love for real.
Yeah, I'm just going to stay.
How do you leave California to come for a couple of days and then just not go back?
I could not believe it. We were sitting there talking about it, too. I'm like, should I go back? He's like, I don't know if you should go back.
Oh, this is your impression?
Yeah, we were actually like having a conversation. And I was like, I really don't want to go back home. I don't. Like, I've been there my whole life. Yeah. I mean, I went to college there. I just felt like I had to stay there. And I'm like, there's nothing holding me there. Why am I staying?
Yeah.
So I was like, I need to just stop being scared and I'm just going to stay.
Now, I know that you had the moment of he's cute, all that. Then you have a couple of months, then you come to Oklahoma. But when was it like you was like, oh, this is my man? Was there a pivotal moment, a heart, something? That he's like, oh, no, this is my guy.
I think once I stayed, I don't know, I could say probably in the beginning too, but he already had said that I was supposed to be his wife. He told his mom this, and I found this out later.
Okay.
So I think we were already, yeah, set to be from there. I think he was all in at this point. So, yeah, I think he tried to act like he wasn't, yeah, but I think he was all in.
Uh-huh.
So, I don't know. I feel like I just knew. Yeah. I stayed, and I was like, this is it. I feel like it's almost not a fatal attraction, but I was like, dude, you're not going anywhere. I'm not going anywhere. We're stuck together at this point. Yeah, so
that's really cool. So you leave Bakersfield, you end up in Guthrie. What were some things that you like? Oh, I like this town. What are some things about a smaller community that you do like? Even though, you know, we're saying Bakersfield is nothing but a bigger Guthrie, but what is it like when you remove all the schools and all the people mm-hmm. and all the things? What is it that you do enjoy about the community?
I don't know what it is. It's just, I get this feeling being here. I mean, I love being here. It just, community is big here.
Yeah.
I do love that. And just the nature behind, it just seems like it's just so open out here. It's just fresh and you're not being smothered by city.
Yeah.
It's just so congested. It's so much. You got all the buildings. You got all this stuff going on. And then here you're like, you got the homes and you can see all the trees. And it's just the nature behind living here. I mean, I love it. And just the culture behind everything here. So.
Now, I do know that you all have on several occasions talked about living in the country, doing your own gardens and things mm-hmm. like that. Was that something that you always had in you, or was that when you got here and was the pressing motivation behind that, or how did you get to that place?
I think I didn't realize how much I had it until I got here.
Okay.
Because at first, coming from Bakersfield, because his mom had me cracking up because they were like, oh, she's so bougie, or she's just so because I'm used to California living, so once I really got used to living mm-hmm. here, but they didn't realize how country I was until, like, when I was really, like, oh, you really getting out here? I didn't. I think because our roots, honestly, my mom, my grandma is from, and my grandpa from Oklahoma.
Oh, okay.
So, believe it or not. So, I said, I think my roots in general, I think I've always wanted to be out this way. My mom doesn't have that kind of desire, and like the rest of my family, but me, I'm like, I'm fine. Get me out in the middle of nowhere, and I think I'm good to go.
And currently looking forward to be out in the middle of nowhere.
Yes.
Even more so than just the city limits of Guthrie. You want to be on the outskirts.
I do.
Of it, to be in the country, which is really cool. Yeah, because when I think about people who are from California, you can't have this thought of like, oh, they bougie, or they ain't trying to get their, you know, your hands dirty, as they would say.
Yes.
Not with real dirt, you know. But yeah, so that's really cool. Tell me something that you're most proud of as far as something that you've accomplished.
Ooh. I'm always proud of. That's a good question. I think stepping out of my box, I'm used to keeping to myself a lot.
Mm-hmm.
So I'd be being more out and open with other people and being able to talk or share, you know, stories or anything like that to help other people. So I would say that my biggest accomplishment.
Yeah. So, of course, you have children and getting married and all those things. Mm-hmm. But you're saying, like, just this thought of you being willing to step out. I remember one time you've done poetry. Mm-hmm. You're on an album, right?
Yeah.
You've done those kind of things. And so for you, I can see that because you've been more of an introvert to yourself. Mm-hmm. To step out and be like, I can do this.
Yeah. That's how I really did. I get excited because I'm like, I did that. I was like, that's me. So I kind of all sit back a little bit at times because I'm fine with being in the back and not seen. So when I am able to like step front and actually do something, I'm like, oh, I did it.
Yeah.
Like I can do it. Yes. So yes. It's an accomplishment for me.
And not only I think for you, but also whenever I hear Preston talk about when you do something like that, like when you get in front of people or you communicate or you do poetry or things like that, mm-hmm. I think he's the same way. Like it's like, but y'all got 8 kids, y'all got all this other stuff. But to see you do this stuff feels like this is it. Like,
yeah.
And I think it's so much so, like, children are great. And we're thankful that God gives them to us. Mm-hmm. But there's nothing like utilizing your giftings and your talents to be able to inspire people, to motivate people, to share Jesus Christ. Yep. I mean, you're a born-again believer.
Yep.
I know that about you. You're a Christian. And so those things are what really, the big picture of what life's about. We want to invest those same things into our children. But man, when I get out there and I be able to stand in front of people. So I get that. That's cool too, that you acknowledge that. And I see that in Preston as well.
Yeah.
For you. And yeah, that's really cool. So what is a hobby and skill? I mentioned a couple of things. I don't know if that's something that you would mention, but what is a hobby or skill that people would be most surprised about with you?
I guess the poetry part would be surprising, I would say. And, I guess I can create, honestly. I didn't realize how much I can do. I think I'll get overwhelmed at times, though, on everything I can do. But if I do it, I can do it. So if, like, Preston's like, oh, I need you to take pictures, I'll craft that and get that together. Or I need you to put a video together. Like, surprisingly, I'd work hard and get it and figure it out. So it's certain things I didn't realize I can do that I can when I actually put my mind in doing it.
Yeah. So out of those different things that you've been able to do, because you talked about being entrepreneurial, like that's in you too, to start stuff, to do things. Mm-hmm. What's been the thing that you've like, oh, I think I enjoy this the most?
Oh, man. I do shirts.
Yeah.
I do. I enjoy it. It can get rough at times. But I say the creating part, I think, is like the biggest thing for me, being able to create things. So either if it's the shirt or I done made like a video. I'm like, oh, my goodness. I done did a video.
I don't know if I've seen this video stuff. I didn't know you was doing videos.
Yeah, I do like the little. Them? Yeah, like I edit like the little videos like when we do our shirts and stuff like that. So I'm the one that edits and put the music and stuff like that. So I do a lot of that stuff.
Now, are you doing it from your phone?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Isn't it amazing how it works phones?
It is.
You don't even need a computer, really. Now, it's funny. Like, people are always talking about somebody being on their phones. Like, well, you do know, like, everything is done on the phone now. So, it's kind of like not – it's hard not to be on, especially if you're a person who's doing something. You're creative. You're a communicator. You know, all those things require for you to have your phone. I want to go back to you being a mom. Like, talk to me about what makes being a mother special to you.
I think being able to just raise kids and, well, now being a follower of Jesus and wanting to make sure that they're, you know, they're followers as well and pouring into them, I think is like the biggest for me now. Compared to like back then, I want to be a mom. I just want to love on kids and just be there. I've always had like a motherly, ever since I was younger, I'm like a mom. I care for anyone.
Okay, yeah.
And so I think like that's the, for me, is just teaching them, helping them out, and just being there and know that like I can be there like to help you.
Yeah.
So,
like for a new mom out there that's about to have children, or maybe they got two and they're still in those young ages, what would be probably your big tip for them?
Take day by day and not and not get yourself worked up about the little things. I think as time goes on, it's like as time went on, I was so anal in the beginning, but it's like once you have some, it's really not that big. It's at this point, just they're fine. Yeah. They're fine.
I love big families, like when people have a lot of children. Because you can just tell you have a lot of children by the way your children are everywhere. And you just like, yeah, girl.
Yes.
Like, you all are just, it's like, whatever happens, they're going to be all right.
Yes.
Right? I think you learn that it's like, versus being a helicopter parent, you know, you just learn at times, like, one guy's got them. Like, they're going to be all right, you know. And so, even though, you know, you want to be mindful of them, but you can tell when people have big families, there's a lot more lax, like, chill, I got this. They know what they're doing. It'll be okay.
Yes.
What, like, when you have that many children, my grandparents had 13 children. A lot of my aunts talk about how they ended up, they feel like they had to raise children. Do you see that in your children already, now that you're at 8 and some of the older kids having to kind of parent too already and be a part of that process?
I don't know. I would hope not. I mean, because I still take a lot of the responsibility, and he's like, hey, you got older kids. They can help out. I'm still really big and hands-on with them with a lot of stuff. So I try not to do too much, but I also am trying to, I realize now, like, I do need to teach them, like, responsibility and things that they need to learn, like, we're growing up, and that is helping out with siblings or helping out with homework. And so they don't have to do it too much. Honestly, I feel like our kids are completely spoiled and they're rotten.
Wow.
So I think having this many kids and that many spoiled, I don't even know how we're doing at this point, but they are. I think they all are spoiled.
Wait a second. I mean, I know Preston. You telling me Preston got spoiled kids?
He has spoiled kids, and they're like him. Don't ever let him tell you nothing different. They're spoiled. He's not spoiled.
He's not spoiled, but
I can say I was a spoiled child.
Yeah, Preston
was. But he wasn't spoiled. I was a spoiled child, but they're like him. And I'll say the spoiledness comes from me. But other than that, they are all him.
They are all him. They are all him. That is hilarious. It ain't nothing wrong with it. My grandmother used to say, when somebody would say that her kids are spoiled or something like that, she was just like, no, they're not spoiled. They're just blessed. You know, it's like, it's not that they're spoiled. And I think sometimes, I don't know, I don't think spoiled is the right word either. You know, I think blessed and some people just don't recognize loving well, you know?
I don't
know. Spoiled, but there are some spoiled kids, though.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Like, I would say they're not that.
They're not those kind of spoiled. Yeah, that's right.
Kind of spoiled, but yeah, they are definitely kids. It's like, y'all got a lot. Y'all got some stuff. Y'all are definitely blessed. Don't act like you ain't. So.
Hey, little Preston recently won those dunks, though.
He did. I was surprised when he told. I was like, he won what? He's excited.
Has he got them? How does that work? I don't even know how that works.
I don't know. What did they say? They did a drawing, and he's waiting to. They picked his number.
So they go. Do they get? Does he get to pick it, which ones? Or are they just gonna send him some?
I think he gets to pick once they.
Wow, that's pretty cool. The funny thing, you know, Preston's. I say this. I've seen Preston not serious, but he's always serious. So when he wins these dunks, I'm listening for him, and they say, and I already knew where Preston was sitting because I just saw him earlier that night or something. And so they say, the winner is Preston Williams. And I look at Preston because I'm like, all right, he's going to smile or something. That dude had the straightest face as though, like, it was not even a big deal at all. He's like,
he tries.
I'm like, and I didn't get to talk to him. I still haven't seen him actually since he's won them.
Oh,
I'm like,
goodness.
This guy here, he did not crack a smile.
I don't know what it is. He is. He's very serious, but he's not. He is a goofball. He plays around. But in front of other people, he's just like, he has this, like, I'm serious.
I'm serious.
I've got it together. I'm like, dude, you ain't got to be so serious. But
when I see him at school, man, I'm like, Preston, come on, bro. Just give me a smile or something. But no, I know he knows how to have fun. I've seen him with his friends. So, which was good. Like, that was good to be able to see him that way. What's something that brightens your day, regardless? What's small, whatever? What's something like, no matter what, it can brighten your day?
Believe it or not. Believe it or not. I don't even want to say it. But I would say sleep. I just love sleep. If I could sleep.
That is.
Preston knows, like.
If you sleep. Can sleep, it just brightens your day.
Yeah, it's like if I can sleep and then I wake up and I get up and I'm like, oh, I slept. Like, his alarm didn't bother me. Uh-huh. I didn't have to hear it 5,000 times, it feels like. No one woke me up.
Hitting the snooze or whatever.
Yeah, hitting the snooze button. I don't know. It's just, I was sleep. I enjoy sleeping. He knows that. He's like, I cannot mess with her in the morning. I enjoy sleep.
That's funny. What's a pet peeve of yours?
Oh my goodness. Cleanliness drives me nuts. If you're not, or not clean. Like, if you're, like, my house has to be clean.
Okay.
And if it's not clean, I kind of.
Now, what kind of clean are you talking about?
Like, I don't like things everywhere on the floor. If he decides not to put his stuff in the dirty clothes, which is right there. It's, yeah.
The basket's there and the clothes.
And the clothes are right there and the basket's there. And he's like, oh, it's.
So that's one of the, I always use that story whenever I'm teaching a class to couples. Because it's like, and when I'm telling these stories, I'm like, really, it doesn't happen. Like, literally the clothes is here. The basket's here. And I'm like, it doesn't really happen, but I know it's a good way of being able to communicate. Like, we teach this thing called XYZ and all this stuff. Mm-hmm. But then, like, couples are like, that's my, you know, my wife, my husband, whatever the case may be. It's so funny that it's like real. It's like, it was right there. You just couldn't.
Yeah, it'd be literally right there. Or just the kids will do the same thing. I'm like, can you pick up? Like,
it just
pick
bothers
it up.
You.
Yeah, or they'll walk. He's done a couple times where he's seen. He doesn't like it sometimes too, but he's the biggest one. I'm like, babe, the hamper's right
there. It's right there.
It's
you
there.
Just couldn't. You couldn't.
Yeah. Like, he has issues with missing socks. I'm like, did the socks make it into the hamper?
One did.
No, I don't know where the other one went.
Wait, I think what it is he's shooting. You know what I'm saying? He's shooting at it, and then he misses. He just keep going.
Yeah.
He's like, you know, just keep going. That's all.
I'm still trying to figure out, too. I'm like, I don't know. Like, he's like, well, you wash the clothes. I know, but your socks aren't making it into the washing machine, so I don't know what to tell you.
Yeah. No, I'm the same way. Like I probably, if you go up to my room now, I probably have some stuff around the basket, and because it's like, I will try to toss it over, and I'll just keep moving. You know, it's not like I'm just going to put that there. It's like I'm tossing it or doing something or my socks. Mm-hmm. But all my socks are the same color, so I don't have a missing sock. If I do, I don't know.
Yeah,
because they're all the same color. Yeah.
Yeah. You ain't got to worry about losing them.
I don't worry about losing them unless it comes and I have an odd number. But rarely does that ever happen to me. But what's the strangest job you've ever had?
Oh, man. I don't know if I had a really strange job. Only thing, I've worked with kids. I've actually tried being like a dog walker at one point.
Dog walking?
Yeah, when we was in Vegas, I actually tried to do like the people that go out and they go and take their dogs and you actually go walk them. Like, the people that are so busy, you go to their homes and then you go let their dogs out. So
really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
No, that dog would work it out. Yeah. No, that's funny. Like, would you walk? So on those movies, you know, you'll see people like walking 8 or 9 dogs at one time and just dragging them down the street.
Yeah, like if I had that many people for that day, but it would be certain people on certain days and you'll go out. Yeah, you walk their dog. And now I understand the concept when people got on them dogs, like, yeah, they're walking other people's dogs out.
Do you go to the person's house and the person's not there and you got the code or the key or something?
Yeah, they'll give you the information to get into the house, or they'll leave a key somewhere and you go in, and if it's like feeding them, and you take them out and let them go to the bathroom and put them,
What in the world? Do they pay you by hour or what?
Yeah, I believe it was for every, I can't remember how it was working then, but I believe it was like every hour or so that, you know, so you let them out and you kind of, but that's why you get enough of them. It's a good business when you got enough of them.
Wow. Yeah. Huh. I didn't think that was real.
Yeah, it's out there. Dog sitting. But I haven't done that one. But
yeah, I can see dog sitting. But dog walking?
Yeah. It's
but I mean, that's crazy. All right. So if you were going on a trip in the United States, you have the option of driving or flying. Which one are you doing?
I'm flying.
What? I was sure you was going to be a road trip person.
I will go, but I'll be asleep. I'm terrible. I feel bad.
We will roll, but I'm going to sleep.
I will be asleep. I don't know if it's because my parents would put me in the car when I was a baby to help me go to sleep.
Uh-huh.
But it will not take me but maybe an hour or so, and I'm asleep. Like, I don't think I'm a good road trip person at all. I will be sleeping in the car.
So we're not calling you to go on the road trip. Okay, yeah, we got that. All right. You going, it's about time for dinner. Are you cooking or are you going out to eat?
I would want to cook. I really would, but it depends. I guess it really depends on what it is. But I would cook.
Do what you
if
would.
I could. Yeah, I would choose to cook if I could.
Okay.
But I would go out to eat, though. I think I would eat.
Now, Dominic, which one is it? You cook or you go out?
I have a food problem. I really do. I can admit that.
Oh, you're
going
to cook and then you're going to go out to eat?
Yeah. Or I'll,
oh, you're saying you're doing both in the same night?
If I could, I probably would. I don't know. If I had the time, I want to cook. But if I'm like rushing.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll go out and grab food. Terrible. That's terrible.
What's the scariest thing you've done in your life?
Ooh. Scariest thing. I know it was something.
You moved to Oklahoma. That wasn't scary. Like, was that?
I mean, yeah.
That seems like that would scare me to death. I remember when I moved to Florida, leaving out of high school. It was like, I don't know, it's the scariest thing. But for you moving here with a chat, like, that seems real scary to me. But I don't want to make it.
Well, standing in front of people, I think that's scary. That's the scariest thing ever. Yeah. Yes, before I got to where I'm at now, that freaked me out. I get like hot. I don't. That's freaky. That is. Or clowns. I don't like clowns. I hate clowns.
The more you're thinking about this,
I'm like, but it is scary. It is.
That's freaky.
It is. I don't know why my mind goes there, but it's like I'm talking in front of people and they're like. I don't.
That's good. So you're going, you have two options. You go on a vacation, you can go to the beach or you go to the mountains. Where are you going?
Oh man, I think I'm going to the mountains.
Wow.
Yeah, I think.
Are you going to the mountains? You got a cabin up there, or are you tenting it?
Oh man, I might rough it. Honestly, I'm at this season. Like I say, I'm roughing a lot. I'm completely shocking myself at this point. I will rough it, but a nice cabin would be good too. But either or. Honestly, but if it's just me,
yes.
I probably need a cabin. But if it was like me and like my husband or something, like, okay.
Y'all roughing it.
Yeah, we can rough it out. We can do this.
No. No. Actually, I'm not going to either one. Do we got some type of New York City trip you can give me instead of going to the mountains or the beach?
It depends on what beach too, because like I've been to the beach a lot, so it's like, yeah. But if it's like somewhere I haven't been, then I would love to go. Yeah. But I mean,
actually, I'm going nature, but I got to have a cabin. I mean, there's something about being able to walk in mountains or going to a river and just be doing that. I really don't even understand the beach, to be honest.
Yeah,
like it. sitting out on the sand, looking at the water.
And I don't like, see, I thought about that. I don't like if you get sand everywhere. I don't think.
But there's people who love it. I'm like, I don't get it at all. Yeah, I'm going. I'm going scenic, but I think I would prefer some type of trip like New York or Boston, some traffic, some subways, some bookstores, kind of thing. So, can you share the best way to give back to the community?
I would say just being that person that is willing to like help, whether however that looks, you know, for you to be able to help or stepping in when you on somebody else's what they're doing and being able to give back. It can be the littlest thing to, I say, picking things up or helping somebody to their car or just stuff doesn't always have to, I've learned things don't always have to be so big and lavish and like out there. It can just be really small, honestly.
I love that. That's really good, actually. When you see the Choose Guthrie signs around town, what does that mean to you?
Choose Guthrie. It definitely just lets me know, like, people are big on their community. Yeah. They really want to be here. They enjoy being here. They're willing to help and wanting to come together. And, I mean, that's good. You don't get a lot of places where people are really willing to want to help. So to be somewhere where people are like, come here, be, you know, or seeing so many people that are inviting for you to come and be here and enjoy Guthrie as much as they do, I think it's amazing.
That's cool. Dominic, great job. You did great.
Thank you.
This was really good, girl.
I'm glad.
We can keep going, too. Like, you ready. You like, wow. I'm throwing stuff at you. I'm like, she got this.
Yeah, I had to.
Thank you.
He threw me in the last time when he did his podcast, and I'm like, dude.
You did a great job.
I actually feel light. I feel good. I feel peaceful.
Yeah.
Like, I feel good today.
That's good. Ladies and gentlemen, Miss Dominique Williams. Dominique, again, thank you so much for taking the opportunity to share your story, a little bit of your story, with the great people out here in Guthrie, America, and beyond. Ladies and gentlemen, if I like to say this, we're on a mission to have every story told of the people doing life in our great community and who are from here. Here's the question. Will yours be next?